and so were expelled. They fell into the field of duality. That's why they were ashamed, male and female. They fell into the realm of duality. That's why God expelled them. They had already expelled themselves. I and God are separate. So they're put out, and the angel at the gate keeps them out. But now in the second half of life, after our experience of history has been fulfilled, we move toward the center. This is a labyrinth from the floor of the Cathedral of Chartres, and it shows the difficulty of getting to the flower, the vegetable form of the center again. Here is Dante in the midpoint of his life. As he says, in the middle of the way of our lives, I was lost in a dangerous wood, and I was threatened by three dangerous animals, a lion, egoism, pride, a leopard, lust, desire, a wolf, avarice, fear. And these terrified me. These are the three in their negative aspect. And then there appears the fourth in the way of Virgil. Not a Christian poet, a pagan poet, a poet celebrating the glory of life, the wonder of the radiance of the spirit through the world of nature. Dante's model for his art. And through Dante's guidance, he is carried now to the second part of his life. Through hell and purgatory to the earthly paradise. The earthly paradise is that symbolic realm where our perfection becomes manifest in the body. And then upward through faith to the Empyrean. But, says Dante, first you must face hell. And what does that mean? That means reviewing your whole sensual life in the light now of this higher consciousness. Going through it all again. Passing through to the higher state. And for that, we have to go down into the depths. This is Geryon, that strange old man, benevolent and benign in his first appearance, but with a scorpion dangerous tail of a scorpion-tailed serpent. In other words, life, which has the two aspects. Beyond the path of others, Dante and Virgil go down into the abyss. And now for a final round of symbols of the self. This is from Inhi, a tantric symbol of what is called the serpent power, or the power of the energy in the vehicle of the body, incubating the golden egg, the Hiranyagarbha, the golden germ of our fulfilled personality. And here from one of Jung's male patients in his 40s, you have the same image, the serpent incubating the egg of the perfected self within a hermetically sealed area, sealed by serpent and flower motifs, sealed away from the impacts of timely stimuli, so that it may incubate the internal aspects of one's own potentials. Here is the woman whose three hounds we saw. Now with this symbol of the incubating serpent and her eyes turned inward. Here she is now herself contemplating the golden egg of her fulfilled personality. Here is the activated unconscious, the fish of the unconscious, stirring up, getting things started, getting things going inside. And here is an unhappy young woman who has no egg to incubate. I mean, it's possible to start this job too soon. Where the egg should be, there's just the serpent head. These are extremely illuminating mandalas. You can see how just the organization there tells a story about that young woman. And here is another young woman with a terribly mixed up shadow system in her, all broken up and violent and dangerous. And she's holding it together with very strong bands. Here's another young woman with something really going, that dawn of the antithetical mask, the beginning of a sense of potentials, and the unfolding of the serpent energy of her life, and then, oh my, what a wonderful expanding horizon of possibilities. Now, when the energy comes up to consciousness, it tends to split into two, good and evil, all that sort of thing. And the advice that comes from all of the mystic sources is, don't favor one or the other. Let them roll, as in the yin-yang sign. Here from a ceiling in a palace at Benares, the two fish go round and round, the pairs of eyes. Now, the opus has been completed in this young woman's life. The fish that was stirring is but a skeleton, and she has produced the child, not a physical child. This is the child of her awakening consciousness, which is what is symbolized in the Christmas crib, the birth of the spiritual life which you now must nurture as a parent its child. This is a picture that was drawn by one of Jung's older women friends, not a patient. And she was a woman of considerable consciousness, and she had the sense of the dawning, the coming up out of the dark, of her seeing eye, the eye of high wisdom, elevated by the two serpents. That is to say, the serpent power has brought her to that luminous moment of illumination. Now keep your eye on that, and next I'm going to show a Roman image in a mosaic on a floor in Algiers. Same. And now something else. The serpent and the elevated eye. There is the Buddha, whose name, Buddha, means the one who has awakened. Buddha, Bodhi, waked up. And he is being elevated from the abyssal waters by these two figures down here with serpent hoods. They are serpent kings. And they represent the same serpent power that we saw in those other two figures. The Buddha, the eye of the awakened Savior, coming up from the watery abyss of our lives in our own consciousness. Here is a Mithraic figure known as Tervan Aparana, the unending time. And what you see is the radiant solar lion enveloped in the coil of the serpent. It's exactly our own lives which envelop the shining golden light of our consciousness and bring it to fulfillment and to radiance. Here, from about the same period, from Alexandria, the Lord of the Aeon, the light and energy of the cycling of the universe, with the feet of Pan bursting from the golden egg. Beneath is the lower part of the egg in flames, and above is the upper part of the egg, and again in the serpent with the same symbol. But the interesting thing here is that he is bursting from a mandorla of the signs of the zodiac. Now, what the mandorla represents in symbolic form is the womb birth. It is the vagina or vulva that is giving birth to the Lord of Light. And that vulva is the universe itself, the whole boundary of space, our mother space, the field in which there is generated this Lord of Light. Here is the same representation in a certain way with respect to the Christ. This is a golden coin from the 16th century, a gulden actually, and it is based on the quotation from the John Gospel where Jesus is supposed to... there may be another theme here. In the first four centuries of our Christian era, there were sects known as Ophitic sects that worshipped the serpent. These sects had this formula, that the world is a wicked world, hence the one who created it must be wicked. You can't throw the blame over on Adam. So that Yahweh is the wicked God. His rules, his law, is a law to be transcended and left behind. The first to tempt man to throw away God's law was the serpent in the garden. The second was Jesus on the cross. Paul says that with the crucifixion, the old law was transcended and left behind. Hence, Jesus is the second coming of the serpent. That may be what was intended here, or it may not. In any case, here we have on the west part of the shark the equivalent of that figure that I've just shown of the aeon bursting from the mandorla. There is the Christ of the second coming bursting from the mandorla. And about him are four signs of the zodiac, which in the Christian tradition are interpreted as signs of the four Gospels. However, in the third millennium BC, which is the period when the zodiac was put together, these four figures represented the solstices and equinoxes of the year. The bull was at the spring equinox, the lion at the summer solstice, the eagle, which is a scorpion eagle, actually, with a scorpion tail, is of the fall equinox, and the man, the water carrier, of the winter solstice. So Jesus, but the Christ of the second coming, the eternal Christ, second person of the blessed Trinity, burst forth from the womb of space, just as Aeon did. And here is Christ's mother. The historical Jesus, is born of an earthly mother. But the eternal Christ is born, as it were, of the cosmic mother, mother space. And here she comes herself as the mandala from which the eternal Christ is born, of which Paul could say, I live now, not I, but Christ in me. Not Jesus in me, the historical figure, but the Christ, the eternal principle of pure and ever-radiant solar light. And this, then, is the final thing I want to show from that very rich hour of the Duke of Berry. Here we are, ourselves, burst from the mandala, as it were, and on the signs on our body here are the signs of the zodiac. Faust saw the sign of the macrocosm and identified it with himself, his own nature, and that's what's said here in two aspects, our conscious and our unconscious selves. So that's the end of the talk I wanted to give. Tomorrow night, I'm going to give an example of the sequence of a woman's experience of the plunge and recovery of her own true self. I think it's interesting to give the imagery of a woman because most of our mythologies have been from the masculine point of view, and I think you'll appreciate this in the light of what we've already seen. And that'll be a much shorter talk than this, so we'll have another hour for those who want to sit and discuss the thing, and I think we'll be we'll find that we have something to talk about tomorrow evening. So I thank you all for what I've done.